Welcome to the London Walks podcast.
This episode, Musical London, Part 3.
Presented by Andy Hallett and Adam Scott Goulding.
We're out and about in blameless Edwardian suburban North London on the trail of the Kinks.
Yep, absolutely. We're making way towards Fortismere School, actually, which is where Ray and Dave, and in fact even Rod Stewart as well, went to school. The William Grimshaw Secondary Modern School, which is today is part of Fortismere School.
Yeah, I think you've done something there, Andrew, to disabuse anyone who was still labouring under the misapprehension that Rod Stewart was actually Scottish. born and bred in Arsenal. But the Davies boys as well were big Arsenal fans.
Gooners
indeed, absolutely. Yes, and footballers themselves from a resolutely working class North London background.
Yeah. I mean, just kind of walking around this part of London today, actually, that's not the impression you get as a working class part of London at all. It's changed completely. Muswell is very, you know, it's always been very leafy, but it's a very expensive, very comfortable part of London today.
I think that's a great observation. It's a comfortable, indeed, is the great euphemism for this part of North London. It's referenced in the famous BBC sitcom Porridge, where the wonderful Ronnie Barker plays Fletch, the lag, yep. Who's locked up behind bars. He said that when he was a young man, he was king of the Muswell Hill Teds, meaning, you know, that Muswell Hill was once a greatly working class neighbourhood.
Right. So the Muswell Hill Billies, 1971.
Yes, the famous Kinks album, the sleeve of which is shot just down the road from here at the Archway Tavern.
Yes, the Archway Tavern, not the Clissold.
And not the Clissold Arms. And we're on the way to the Clissold to find the source of the Nile of the Kinks.
Absolutely.
But the Archway Tavern is the sleeve location for Muswell Hill Billies, with a classic roster of Ray Davies penned numbers, including the wonderful Have a Cup of Tea, a rock and roll song dedicated to the restorative quintessentially English,
yes.
Restorative cup of tea, and even in the title track, where he does in the title track Muswell Hill Billies, he has the line, "I'm a Muswell Hill Billy boy, but my heart lies in old West Virginia." We don't believe a word he says.
Can it really be so?
He's so irredeemably English, the greatest living Englishman, indeed.
Wonderful Radio London.
Okay, I've put the record on here, the 7-inch single with the lurid pink label. Putting it on my beloved 1966 Dansette Viva record player, still in perfect working order. It's the record that I still believe to be the greatest piece of rock and roll committed by any English group. When they started out back in 64, the Kinks had been just another white boy four-piece, drawing from the already dwindling well of black rhythm and blues standards, along with the rest of the herd. But by the August of that year, with the release of only their third single, the Kinks had established themselves as one of the most inventive forces in pop. The Kinks' suburban guerrilla sound exploded into the nation's consciousness with the advent of You Really Got Me, with its now famous arresting two-chord intro. This ferocious, barking guitar sound was discovered, according to legend, when lead guitarist Dave Davies slashed the cone of the speaker of his amp. Such thuggish undertones are entirely in keeping with this oral mugging masquerading as pop music.
You really got me now, you got me so I can't sleep at night.
Even this early in his career, Ray Davies is already a singular writer, turning the staple boy meets girl scenario into something altogether more startling. Here, it's boy stalks girl. It is not soppy. It's clammy. It is the kitchen sink drama of love songs, all hormonal and greedy and real. Late in life, Sophocles stated that he welcomed the onset of dwindling libido, comparing the feeling to that of being unchained from a lunatic. In You Really Got Me, Ray Davies is that lunatic. In the lyric, said lunatic is leaping around before the object of his desires, pleading, begging for the act that had been invented, according to Philip Larkin, just 1 year earlier, in 1963. This tragicomic image is very much of its time and would not have been out of place as a scene in a newly sexually free English New Wave movie of the day. Richard Lester's The Knack, say, or Carol Rise's Morgan, A Suitable Case for Treatment. Consider the chart topper immediately prior to You Really Got Me. That was Have I the Right by The Honeycombs. It featured a typically rumbustuous arrangement and quirky production job from the great Joe Meek, recorded just down the road from here on the Holloway Road. But all Joe Meek's trickery masks a nimby-pimby lyric, which begs the question, have I the right to kiss you? The lyric of Davies' first number one typifies the sea change in social mores away from the polite concerns of the Honeycombs. There stands Davies, a pleasingly seedy, gap-toothed Lothario, not so much kinky, a word that had entered broader circulation thanks to the spank-me antics of John Profumo and his political chums that brought about the fall of the Tory government of the period. So not so much kinky as primal, ape-like, flagrantly strutting his stuff and begging for it. There are, of course, antecedents in the history of rock and roll, a form, after all, that takes its very name from an old jazz man's euphemism for sex. The Black Blues catalogue may well heave with sexual tension, it does. But You Really Got Me is that blues sensibility viewed through the prism of the fevered imagination of a white suburban Englishman. And as such, it is the first British number one record to take the sexual revolution as its theme. The obsessive lyric is underpinned by an arrangement that is nothing less than a knuckle-dragging classic. Its influences are plain. Louie Louie is there for all to see. There's Motown here too, with a tambourine riding just under the bass throughout, a subliminal exhortation to dance, common to many a record that came out of the great city of Detroit. But its influences are less manifold than the influence it would beget. The early recorded Who were flagrant copyists. There are shards of You Really Got Me in everything from the Troggs right down to the Hives. Many cite it as a proto-punk classic, the record that launched a million garage bands. It is even credited, in some quarters, with the invention of heavy metal. Essentially, two punchy chords, changing key twice. The music is as rudimentary and direct as the desire expressed in the lyric. The bridging chord between the first and second verse, where the song is taut and pent up in D, dropping to a C chord, functions almost as a deep breath, lest the song, already frenzied, spends itself too soon. We repeat with the addition of a high, vamping piano part, Motown influence here once more, but also an expressionist alarm bell ringing as the sexual tension mounts. Guitar breaks and guitarists have long been satirised in cod Freudian terms, but the frantic spank of 17-year-old Dave Davies' solo is the element that most lends the song its lurid, onanistic air. A chimera of a riff, essentially a repeated figure, part punk Chuck Berry, part cocky welfare state-reared swank. It winds the song up even higher. Once more, Chuck Berry-like, the solo smoothly glides back into the rhythm part, and we're back to the obsessional repetition of the lyric. Please, never to be set free. Allusions to clammy, sleepless beds. Shameless confessions to having lost control. Then, suddenly, with four jackknifing D chords, the peak of the chord progression, the tune is cut off in its prime. What caused this musical coitus interruptus, we wonder? An irate father aiming a boot at the rump of our lover, sighing like furnace with his woeful ballad. Did the police arrive? The sudden stuttering ending leaves the listener wanting more. When You Really Got Me was released in 1964, the big hit song in London 50 years earlier had been If You Were the Only Girl in the World and I Were the Only Boy, a duet from The Bing Boys Are Here at the Alhambra Theatre in Leicester Square. By 1964, such a number sounded as if it came not only from a different century, but a different planet. As we record this, You Really Got Me itself is nearly 50 years old, and it still sounds as vital as it did on the day it was released. In typically contrary Davies fashion, he would soon abandon such primitive music to his copyists and take his band on to tales of dissipation, dissolution and, well, gardening in a fascinating songwriting career of nearly 50 years standing. But this record remains ground zero for anyone wishing to acquaint themselves with the Kinks. Many a lesser act would have burned themselves out trying to outdo such a monumental first big hit, that the Kinks seemed not in the slightest bit fazed by their own landmark reveals the unshakable confidence that is a hallmark of the native Londoner.
We are inside at the Clissold Arms. The Clissold Arms is directly opposite number 6 Denmark Terrace, which is where the Kinks, Ray and Dave Davis, lived. And they played their first gig here, it says on the wall there, December 1960. And it's the pub today. It's just stuffed with Kinks memorabilia.
This end of the pub has been renamed the Kinks Bar. And it's gaudy, as you say. Pink pie labels from the 1960s, Kinks sleeves, Kinks ephemera. It's a theme bar. The music is slightly off theme, as you can hear. We've got a bit of big band jazz going on.
It's a gastro pub and alfresco dining outside.
Indeed. Indeed. They do have an old piano in the corner there, which is maybe redolent of the pub gone by here. A proper North London drinker, an old shop.
Always an enormous amount of tension, wasn't there? Was there? The drummer and Dave, didn't he wallop him with his hi-hat or something? He was rendered unconscious. And
very famous story, I think, down in Cardiff in Wales. Yeah. An offstage disagreement that they managed to take on stage with them. And yes, I think the drummer picked up a cymbal and swiped it at Dave Davies
over his head,
and then legged it from the venue, fearing that he had killed Dave Davies. He hasn't killed Dave Davies. Dave Davies is still up on his hind legs. He lives around the corner. You often see him on the bus here.
I see Ray Davies every now and again. I don't know if he lives in Highgate or very close to here, but obviously,
I think it's very telling that the apple didn't really fall very far from the tree here. They were born and bred North London, and they stayed North London, and you can hear that song, that strand through their work. The Village Green Preservation Society, Autumn Almanac, that sort of suburban approach to swinging London, this idea that everybody was stoned and wearing, you know, day-glow, paisley pattern flares is not entirely the case. I mean, Ray Davies is one of the most important figures of swinging London, but he lived, you know, up here in North London, in suburban North London, and is often a great commentator on swinging London because he's sort of outside the scene and observing, and he's often been described as the Eeyore of rock and roll, named for the famous naysaying character in A.A. Milne's Winnie the Pooh.
And David, was it Dave's 50th birthday they celebrated here, the Clissold Arms?
Did they really? I believe that in his time, Dave has enjoyed the pub more than most. His autobiography, Kink, is full of, to borrow from his brother's favourite line, famous line, full of tales of drunkenness and cruelty, a vivid and well-told tale.
And Ray's written one as well.
Ray's on his second book now. Wow. Ray's on his second book. It's called Americana, and he's doing a couple of shows to promote that next March. I think it's at the Union Chapel.
And how do their kind of recollection of events compare?
Their recollection of events compare perfectly. It's like two halves of a broken plate.
Wow.
Ray's sensibility in his autobiography, X-Ray, his first book, his artist's sensibility comes right to the fore, and he tells a fictionalised version of his own story. So it's like a Russian doll of a story. It sort of disappears into itself. Dave's story, however, is as straight ahead as a 12-bar blues. It's no punches pulled, symbolising perfectly the two brothers' approach to their art.
Preservation Society. God save the old duck, Bonneville and variety. We are the desperate dead.
So what's next, Adam? What are we going to do? So next is going to be, our next podcast will be the Christmas one.
Christmas London. Christmas. You're going to take me Christmas London. Shopping and buy me something nice. I'm looking forward to this.
So Christmas shopping.
Yes.
Katie's apparently going to do something, I think.
Katie. We're looking forward to hearing from Katie on St James's, I believe, a posh shopping part of town.
Brilliant. Okay. Fantastic. Well, we'll look forward to doing that.
Indeed. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
London Walks podcast was compiled, produced and presented by Andy Hallett and Adam Scott Goulding. For details of the full programme of London Walks, London's best guided walking tours, go to www.walks.com. You can follow London Walks on Twitter, at London Walks. The London Walks podcast was an APB production.